Thank you for having us. We came in late last night, and well, not very late. It was around 7 o'clock, but according to our bodily clock, it was late. We were tired of driving 3 days and being cooped up in a van, even though it's a big 12-passenger van. And I'm still looking for that Mr. Daniel that was helping me with. Appreciate you very much. I hope you got the gift card back in April, and Brother Turner didn't go eat on your cost. yeah, appreciate that very much. It's done us very well. I was a little bit concerned going through the mountains because we had spoken to another missionary family, and they had done a lot of deputation. They had a 15-passenger van with about the same size of camper that we are pulling, and they were saying that they had to stop every couple of minutes on the way up a mountain because their engine and transmission were overheating, and mine didn't do any of that. So I praise the Lord for that, and yeah, I'm very relieved about that. Otherwise, I would not be here probably. And yeah, so we're still a bit tired, so if I start speaking in tongues or do any of that, you will know why. If I fall over on the floor, it's not because the Holy Spirit is slaying me. It's because I'm tired. Okay. But we don't believe in any of that anyways, right? So, amen. I know your pastor teaches you better than that. As I make a few comments about Germany and the work that we're doing, Brother Kevin can cue the video there. And then we'll watch that after I'm done here, and then we'll get into the message. But please do go by our display table. We have the laptop set up. I will have a Excel sheet up there where you can sign up for our email, our newsletter that we try to send out on a quarterly basis at least. And yeah, so Germany, that's the land that I'm originally from. Originally from Germany. We moved here when I was 18 years old. I won't repeat too much of what's in the video, but Germany is really a very small country with a lot of influence in the world, but especially in the European Union. If you look at Germany as far as the area and population-wise, Germany, I think BC is probably area-wise the same size as Manitoba. So if you take Germany, it's about the half the size of British Columbia. But if you take the population of Canada, you double it, and you put that into this area, that's what Germany is, okay? So you think Vancouver is crowded, you know, go to Germany once. This traffic here reminds me a lot of Germany. But why Germany? In Germany, people would say that they are Christian. But a lot of that is because the Catholic Church, or those who are Catholic, they're still paying a church tax that comes straight off of their paycheck. And that's about the extent of their Christianity. They might go to church on a Christmas or Easter service. If they die, they get buried in the church, and that's about the extent of their Christianity. 24% would say that they are Protestant. 4% is Islam. And it's a growing number, very, very drastically growing number. But then the other big number is 35% who are either agnostic or atheist. So with Bible criticism that has really originated in Germany, it has done a lot of damage to the Christian faith and just the general belief in God. And so there's a lot of people that don't believe in God. In new evangelical circles, people that we would say might be actually truly born again, Reformed or Calvinistic theology is very big. But imagine this scenario here. Your pastor, I don't believe, is a missionary pastor. You're supporting your pastor on a full-time basis. But let's say something traumatic happens in his life, something that really rattles his cage, and over a period of time, he can't deal with it anymore, and he says, I'm leaving this church. Well, where does this leave you as a congregation? It would be traumatic for you as well. Or if this church never grows beyond what it is now to where you can actually, or you are supporting your pastor on a full-time basis, but if a church does not grow beyond that, and a lot of the churches in Germany are very small, they would be even smaller than what you are here. And so a lot of them are missionary churches. They're not able to support a pastor on a full-time basis. And so our desire is to be assistants in church planting. We're not planning on necessarily planting a church, though the Lord may lead us that way. Eventually, right now, we feel like our calling is to go and help a church plant that is already in existence. And we have a couple of them that we are considering working with. And so we want to work with them. Germans are a very highly educated people. They're sticklers for rules, for law and order. A lot of things that I would venture to say that you take for granted doing on a daily basis, that you don't even think about necessarily having a rule for, be sure that Germany has one. They even have a rule of how you can treat your lawn on your yard or how you can wash your car on the yard, all those kinds of things. So I'll just leave it at that. But where does this leave the German people? A lot of, we would say education is a good thing, and I would agree with that. But the Bible has something to say about that as well. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 to 28, it says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" I'm not reading the entire passage, but you can go look it up for yourself. But essentially what Paul is saying is that there is not a lot of smart or wise people according to the world standard that are following Jesus. Why is that? Sometimes we can be too smart for our own good, right? Sometimes we, especially as men, I'm speaking as a man because that's what I am. Even in 2025, praise the Lord, we are, we know that, we think, oh, we are smart, we got life figured out, and we don't need anybody to tell us what to do, or we can make our own decisions, and sometimes in a spiritual life that is the same way. But so why Germany? This is the reason why. It's the country that birthed the Reformation. It made it possible for us to have the scriptures in print. You think of the Gutenberg press. We actually saw it. It had the light of the gospel, but now is drowned in darkness. Not necessarily in outright idolatry, as in the worship of deities, but in the worship of Mother Nature, sports, soccer especially, humanism, and every other ism under the sun. And so we want to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we could have the video at this time, that would be fantastic.
Germany, a land filled with 84 million souls. Germany of old has a rich history both of world events as well as church history. Perhaps when you think of Germany, you think of world wars, the Berlin Wall, automobile manufacturing, soccer, or perhaps of the Reformation and Dr. Martin Luther. However, Germany today is a very secular country. What used to be dominated by Catholicism, Lutheranism, and general Bible knowledge has now been replaced by atheism, Bible criticism in the lives of people. However, many wicked and worldly philosophies are rapidly being accepted. Moral depravity has spiraled out of control. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Over the past decade, Germany has also taken in many refugees from wars in the Middle East as well as Asia. Many of them come to the area that we are planning on serving in. Hi, we're the Becker family sent out of Pembina Valley Baptist Church in Winkler, Manitoba. I'm Thomas, my wife Lindsay, our oldest daughter Emma, Ava, Dominic, and Carson. I was born in Germany to a Christian family and exposed to Bible teaching at a young age. It was when I was 18 years old, my family, that is my parents, my youngest sister, and I decided to move to Canada. Only when I started working at a local factory here in Winkler, Manitoba, I was introduced to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. At the age of 15, I had made a profession of faith, but still believed that part of salvation depended on me. Finally, in the summer of 2012, the Lord convicted me of my religious but lost condition, and I turned to the Lord for true salvation. It was shortly after that I joined Pembina Valley Baptist Church and started attending services. The first missions conference I attended, Dr. Gene Burge was the speaker, and he shared his burden of seeing Germans in our church trained and go back to Germany to reach the country with the gospel. Immediately I knew the Lord had called me, but I did not immediately surrender to the call. Instead, I started going to Bible college and graduated in 2019. While going to Bible college, I met my wife and we married in 2015. During Bible college, I kept asking the Lord where He would have us serve, but the answer was always the same: Germany. Finally, after prayer and fasting, the Lord got through to me and I surrendered to the call. Then, in April of 2024, my wife, our youngest son, and I took a survey trip to Germany.
I grew up in a Christian home, having heard the gospel and been taught it all my growing up years. But it was not until the age of 20 where I truly realized my need of salvation. It was during a prayer and revival conference with Dr. Benny Beckham. He preached on hell that night and winning the lost, and he said, "How can you win others if you yourself are not saved?" That night during the invitation, the fire alarm had gone off, and the Lord used this to convict me. It was that night I had placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone as my only hope of salvation. Shortly after this time, the Lord began working in my heart regarding missions. And the following year, at our missions conference, the Lord began putting Germany on my heart. It was only after our survey trip to Germany in 2024 that the Lord confirmed this call and that I surrendered to go.
We will be partnering with a veteran missionary couple already on the field in order to help the church reach indigenous status. As we get started, we would like to have a Sunday school program in order to reach specific age groups with the gospel and help them grow in the Lord. As the church grows, we would like to establish a Bible Institute to train people in the ministry and then have a national pastor take over the church. We know from other veteran missionaries that Germany is a difficult field and the need is great, but we also believe that with your faithful prayers, financial support, and our diligent work, the Lord can make a difference in the lives of these people. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Will you consider partnering with us in prayer and financial support in order to reach Germany with the gospel? Thank you for watching this presentation, and may the Lord bless you.
That way, my wife, she's been learning whatever I'm speaking to the kids. My parents live in the Winkler area as well, and so every Thursday our kids have been going to my mom and dad's, and so that's their German lessons and their time with Oma and Opa. And so they're picking it up as well, and then obviously my wife, she will be taking some German or language classes when we get to the field, but she understands quite a bit. I couldn't, try to pull the wool over her eyes, not that I would want to. But as we get started here, is it 12 o'clock usually? Just a bit? Okay. let's go to John chapter 20, verse 21. Obviously, as a missionary, and you know, as a mission emphasis Sunday, if you will, you're expected to preach a missions message, right? And people want to be encouraged or challenged in the area of missions. And so, a little while back, I was looking at John chapter 20, verse 21, and it says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So this is one of the Great Commission passages, if you will. And my question was, or when I was reading this, I was wondering, you know, Jesus says, even as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Well, the question is, how did the Father send Jesus? Not we know what he sent him for, but how did he send him? What were the circumstances, if you will? What were the attributes of his sending? What were the what did he equip him with? Those kinds of things. Those are the questions that I had. And Jesus obviously gave the church and each individual Christian the command to go and to preach the gospel. And the gospel starts with go, right? We have that mandate to go and preach the gospel. Now, that does not mean necessarily that every one of us needs to go to a foreign country or move to a different city and preach the gospel there. No. We can all preach the gospel where we're at, in your workplace, at your school, at the grocery store when you're picking up your groceries, or wherever it is in your neighborhood. As Jesus walked this earth, he gathered the disciples and trained them in the work that he had for them. When his earthly ministry was about to be done, he gives the disciples one last command and the commission to go. He compares that commissioning to his own being sent forth. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. You know, sometimes in the Bible you come across the word therefore. And then we have that little saying, right? What's the therefore? Therefore, we ask that question. Well, here it's very similar. He says so. Well, what does that mean? What is the so? Well, It's my desire that we would look at that today, and that we would see the greatness and carefulness of God in the commissioning of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we will see his plan for our lives and we would not be scared to submit to it. Because I know, you know, we are going to a developed country. We're not going to Africa. I know your son is there right now. And I know, you know, in a lot of people's minds, when we talk about missions, a lot of children, it used to be when I was growing up, Africa was the big mission field, and it still is a mission field. North America is a mission field. All over the world is a mission field, right? But it can be scary when we think of going to missions. We say, well, God is going to send me to a country I don't want to go to. That's me. When I surrendered to this, we listened in the presentation. Dr. Burge, he was the preacher when at the missions conference where the Lord spoke to me about that. I had no desire to go back to Germany after we had moved here. I grew up with my dad having a lot of resentment for Muslim people, for whatever reason. He grew up with Muslims and he got into a lot of fights with them and so on. It was a rough area in Russia that he grew up in. And so for some reason, I grew up with that same resentment. And with the immigration that was taking place into Germany, we saw a lot more of them. And so I had no desire to go back. After we had moved here, I was very happy and I was going to stay here for the rest of my life. The only caveat I told the Lord was, if you make it very, very, very clear, like 2x4 clear, that I am supposed to go back to Germany as a missionary, then I will go. That's the only way I would ever go back to Germany. Well, guess what? That 2x4 never came, but the Lord still made it very clear that that's where God wanted us.
Amen.
But it can be scary. It can be scary. And even going into a developed country, it can still be scary because of all the things that are going on in the world right now. But how was Jesus sent? So the title of our message is, Even So, Send I You. So how was Jesus sent? Well, first of all, we go back even before the sending, and we see that He was chosen before time began. In 1 Peter 1, verse 20, it says, Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. That's 1 Peter 1, verse 20. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Jesus Christ, or after the fall, God did not sit in heaven and scratch His head and just say, oh man, what just happened? I did not see that coming. No, God was not taken by surprise by any of it. God was not there and said, well, now I have to come up with a plan B. Well, my plan A was, you know, to live with man and to talk with Adam in the garden and to have fellowship with him and just for that to continue to grow and impart my knowledge to mankind and to have fellowship with them. Yes, that was God's plan all along, and it still is His plan, but He didn't have a plan B. He didn't need a plan B. He had everything planned out right from the get-go. Even before the get-go. Before the foundations of the world, God had a plan. God was not surprised by what happened. This plan was not made up in a scramble. It was not a matter of oversight. For Jesus to be the Savior was carefully planned out, and it was always the plan. It was always the plan. Now, what about us? So we see that Jesus being sent, it was always the plan. It was always in God's plan. But what about us? Well, how do we know what the will of God is, or what God's plan is for our lives? I know in missions we often talk about that, but you know, maybe your God's plan for your life is not missions. Maybe it's not going to a foreign field. Maybe it's not staying in the Vancouver area. Maybe it's not going anywhere but staying here, doing your job. If you're a mechanic and you're in the will of God, that's the best place for you to be.
Amen. Amen.
If you're a teacher or a student and that's the will of God for you, that's the best place to be.
That's good.
If you're a child and you're living in your parents' home, that's the will of God for you.
Amen.
Notice I did not say that if that's the will of God for you. No, if you're a child, that's the will of God for you to be with your parents.
Amen. Amen.
If you are married, that's the will of God for you. That's the best place for you to be. But you say, well, the circumstances where we met and when we got married and we were unsaved and all of that, you are married now, that's the will of God for you. And that's a good thing.
Amen.
The Bible says that marriage is honorable.
Yes.
It's a gift from God. And so is singleness, by the way. Every one of you that is single and looking to be married, I know some of you might be praying for a blind person. Uh-oh. That's what your pastor said, not me. But that's the will of God for you, and that's a gift. Accept that gift from God. Live in the fullness of it. But here's my philosophy when it comes to the will of God. I know in the presentation I said, you know, during college I was always praying and asking the Lord, where would you have us go? And the answer kept being the same thing, Germany, Germany, Germany. But in the back of my head, I always had this idea, because I had a bunch of friends that had already gone on to the mission field or gone to be pastors and so on. They were praying during college, and they thought they were going to one place. Shortly after graduation or shortly before that, then all of a sudden the Lord changed that direction, and that's, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that's where they were going. And so I was waiting for that same kind of revelation, if you will, because in the back of my head, Germany was still ringing there, but that's not the place I wanted to go. I wanted to have that place changed, remember? That's not where I wanted to go. So I wanted a different revelation of a different place where I would say, oh yeah, this is the place, this is where we're going. Well, that place didn't come, but I had one guiding verse that I had was Psalm 37, verse 23. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Amen. Be a good man. Yes. What does that mean? You know, we use that word so flippantly, right? This is good, or oh, this is awesome. Well, what does that even mean anymore? But being good in the context here means that we are walking in the steps of that the Lord has set for us. We're walking according to the Bible. We're living our life according to the dictates of Scripture. Listen, when you're walking according to the Scriptures, when you let the Scriptures dictate how you live, you are a good man. You are a good lady. And look what it says. "And he delighteth in his way." God delights when we walk after what he said we should walk like. Are you not pleased when you're raising children and you tell them how they should tie their shoes and how they should behave at the table, how they should greet people, and you've been working so hard and nothing is working, and finally they get it? And they're shaking people's hand, and they're looking them in the eye, and they sit decently at the table. You delight in that, do you not? Sure you do. I got five of them, so I got, you know, five times the blessing of knowing what that's like. We're still working on it with some of them. But you delight in that. God delights when he sees that a good man is walking after the Scriptures. So it said that Jesus was chosen before time, before the foundations of the world. There is a similar work or a similar verse in Ephesians 2 verse 10, but this one talks about us. And I'm sure you're familiar with that verse. Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath," what? "Before ordained that we should walk in them." Good. Is that not wonderful?
Amen.
If you're a Christian here today, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but you have much more than that.
Amen.
You have the will of God already before ordained that we should walk in it.
Good.
I know I'm changing the verse just slightly, but that's essentially what it says. The works that we should do, they were ordained before that we should walk in them. We don't have to come up with a plan. We don't have to come up with a goal, with a plan for our life. We don't have to have some kind of a smoke dream or smoke pipe to dream up a dream or a plan for our life. No, that will of God is there for you. It's available to you. Do you want to know it? Is that your desire? Do you even ask for the will of God? Is that anything that concerns you? Now, I just said that my philosophy was the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. My philosophy was that I am going to be living as a good man. I'm going to try to be a good man because then the Lord will order my way and I will be in the will of God. That's not hard, is it?
No.
That's very simple. Now, I know I'm making it very simplistic, and there's more to it, of course. But this is a very simple start.
Yes.
Live according to the Scriptures. You go to bed in the will of God. You'll wake up in the will of God.
Amen.
As you do that, God will lead you wherever you need to go. There is so much peace in knowing that we don't have to come up with a plan. As long as we follow Him, everything will be okay.
Amen.
Did you know that God is not in the business of trying to ruin your life by revealing His will to you? Even when you ask Him for, you know, where do you want me to serve? God is not trying to ruin your life. Even if He sends you back to a country that you don't want to go to? Yeah. I'm not shocked by that, or I'm not saddened by the fact that I need to go back to Germany now. Ever since God made it very clear that we had to go, and I finally said, okay, Lord, I surrender. If this is what Your will is, I will do it. There is so much joy and happiness that comes with that.
Amen.
And understanding that you are in the will of God, and that's the best place for you. Look, you can't do the will of God for very long and be griping and unhappy and murmuring and complaining. I don't think you can do that very long.
No.
If you can, don't get around me, please. But there's also a responsibility that comes with that. If God has this great plan for me, it behooves me to find out what it is and live it. Where are you in His plan? Have you found your gift? Are you interested in the plan of God for your life? Are you preparing to be ready for God, for what God wants of you? Point number two, if you're taking notes. So the first one was that He was chosen before time, and we have to hurry. But point number two is that He was sent in time. Galatians 4 verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." This is so good. In the fullness of time. God knew when the time was ready to send Jesus. In the fullness of time. He wouldn't send Him any earlier. He wouldn't send Him any later. He sent Him in the fullness of time. I know that you know this, that God is never late. He's seldom early, but He's always on time. And God knows where you are at. God knows what you are ready for. In the grand scheme of things, in relation to His will for your life. Queen Esther, she wasn't ready way before her time. No, God, how does the Bible put it? Come on now. For such a time as this.
Amen.
In the fullness of time. Now listen, we live in a day and time where it's difficult just to live. Or so we think. You look at these Bible characters and you know, we have all this air conditioning and TV and microphones and buildings that don't collapse over our heads and things like that. We have automobiles that we can drive to church in or use public transportation. You don't have to walk for days or even hours. I don't know if any of you do, but I'm sorry if you do. We say we have it difficult. Look, these people, the Apostle Paul, he had it difficult. Ever read 2 Corinthians where he lists all the things that he had to go through, of shipwrecking and beatings and all the things, you know, hunger and thirst and so on and so forth. You look at missionary biographies back in the pioneering days, what they all went through. We live in a very cushy society. That's really what the problem is. But what does it say in the fullness of time? God knows where you are at. That period or that point or period of time was exactly when Jesus was supposed to come. And everything that God does is at the right time. And timing is very important, right? I mean, if you came to church this morning at 2 in the afternoon, you'd probably be here by yourself. I don't know what your schedule looks like, but you most likely would be here by yourself. Well, you would sit here and say, hey, I'm ready for church. That's not the right time to be here, though. You need to be in the right time. God knows when you're ready. But when He calls, do we obey right away? When He says go, then go. Now, I know in my own life with my calling, as I mentioned in the presentation, I initially refused to surrender, but I said I know that God has more for me, and I wanted to learn more about the Bible. And so we had the Bible college right there, and that was a no-brainer decision for me to just go to that Bible college, and it's a good one. And so I went to college. But until that time that I surrendered, it was over 10 years until I surrendered. Now, I ask myself sometimes, is that wasted time? I trust that it's not, because we went to the church, we served where we could, we were involved where we could. In all sorts of different ministries, doing what we knew at the time to be God's will. Graduated Bible college in 2019, and on we went from there. But God is still in control. And if you come and talk to me later, I can tell you a little bit more about the story of how God led us to Germany and the place that we were thinking of going. And you will see, or at least I can see, that God was still in control and this was the right time. This was not wasted time. God knew that we were not ready before 2024 when we went for our survey trip. God knew that. God knows where you are at. But for such a time as this, in the fullness of time, are you ready? Where are you at in God's plan? Are you interested in what God has for you? It's not difficult to find out. And it's not, He's not going to take you as a new Christian and throw you out in the world and say, hey, go be a missionary. He might reveal that to you as a later date, something to shoot for, but He is going to have you grow in this area right here. The great Apostle Paul, yes, he had that revelation from the Lord right after his salvation that he would be a missionary, a preacher to the Gentiles. But that's not where he went right away. Did you know that there was a period of some 7 to 10 years or even longer before he went to actually be the great Apostle Paul and start many churches? If a man like him needed preparation time, I mean, there's not enough preparation time for us. But we need to go. I believe that time is very short. Let's not waste it, but redeem the time. He was sent in time, and he was ordained or chosen before time. Let's bow our heads.